Did you know everyone is created in God's image and likeness? That's what the Bible says. That means everyone is born in nature with some sort of attributes of God. For instance, God is love. Therefore, we are born with the ability to love. God creates, therefore, we too are born with the ability to create. Here's another instance. God is the God of justice, so you and I are born with a sense of justice. Although very few of us ever took courses in school on justice and fairness, from our youth, all your days, somehow we know to declare foul when we are unfairly treated. Our hearts immediately demand justice when we are wronged. So this morning we are going to think about justice in conjunction with Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow. More specifically, we are going to listen to God and what he says about justice. And then we'll think about some action plans. Now, let me begin with my personal story. In terms of justice, I have both positive and negative experiences, like we all do. Let me begin with a positive one first. I was in my first grade, 7-year-old boy. At the end of school year, the teacher gave away awards. The first place, the second place, and third place in academics. Now, I was one of the baby boomers in Korea, right after the Korean War. My classroom was swarmed with kids, 80-plus children, on one teacher. So that's the setting. I was known to all the students in the classroom throughout the year that I was the first place student, number one kid. Yet toward the end of the school year, there was a rumor going on among the kids. You think kids don't, you know, talk about things? Yeah, they do. The rumor was that the teacher would be bribed by the mother of the second place student, happened to be a girl, and would give the girl my first place award. My heart was gripped with fear and anxiety that the teacher might cave in. Finally, the day arrived. All the students and their parents were in the room. Over 100 people. And their eyes and everything was fixed on the teacher as she was calling out the award winners. When I heard my name called out as the first place winner, I was thrilled. I knew that the teacher was fair. I was so proud of my teacher. She was not bribed, I declared to myself. And that day, the teacher left an indelible, lifelong impact in my young heart that the good teacher is never bribed or betrays justice. Well, my next experience with fairness wasn't so great. It came 6 years later after my first experience. In middle school. Isn't that funny? All the kids learn about justice and fairness at school. In those days, students in Korea would take turns in keeping the homeroom, you know, neat. We didn't, you know, we cleaned the, classroom after school too. But anyway, during the school day, we did that. So one afternoon, the class was about to be dismissed. The teacher asked me and my mate, who happened to be on duty that day, If we knew anything about or who had made a soccer ball smear on a homeroom organization chart on the wall. If someone threw the ball and made a huge, you know, like smear on the chart. Of course I had no idea. Neither did my mate. You know, isn't it funny? At the time, one guy said, "Teacher, I did it." Right? But the rest of the class were so silent. So the teacher asked both of us, he was holding us accountable, come forward to him in front. Unfortunately, I was so eager to go first. I was the first one arrived. The teacher didn't waste time. He smacked in my face without warning. Yet, my equally responsible mate, few steps behind me, didn't get one. Then the teacher dismissed the class. As you could imagine, I was so mad. Well, if the other guy had been smacked as well, it would have been all right, you know. But why me alone? Let me tell you, it surely hurt my pride that I was humiliated in front of the class. However, that was not what burned me inside. Nor the smack in my face either. But it was rather the sense of justice violated big time that burned me up inside. Later, I was not a Christian at the time, but later I became a Christian and I forgave the teacher. But you know what? I still remember the name of that unfair teacher. Isn't that, you know, 50 years later, I still do. I learned that day what justice means. Fairness, fair treatment. Did you know that God's word points out the following four things that would pervert justice? In other words, God doesn't want us to do this because when we do the following four, it will pervert justice. The first one is partiality, as you could imagine. Second one is bribes, rooted in the love of money. Third one is corrupt witnesses. The last one is fear of people, or rather, the desire to please the crowd more than God. Let's think about partiality. I want you to think of my own experience with your own experience too, with my seventh grade teacher one more time. In my young mind, the teacher showed favoritism. Punish me and spare the other guy for no apparent reason. Indeed, God's word condemns and forbids such practice of partiality because when we do, it hurts the one who is unfairly treated. Do not pervert justice or show partiality, Deuteronomy 16:19 declares. It seems to me injustice and partiality always go hand in hand. Remember this, the foundation of justice is the awareness and understanding that every person is equal in the sight of God. Whether they are rich or poor, man or woman, old or young, nobles or commoners, they are all, the Bible says, the work of God's hands. Partiality, that perverts justice. Second one is this, bribes, or the love of money. It surely twists justice. It is God's will for us never to pervert justice. However, a bribe in secret perverts the course of justice. How true it is. I'm sure some of you heard of the name Samuel. If you have a name, Samuel, it's recorded in the Bible. And prophet Samuel had two sons. The father appointed them both judges over Israel. We're talking about almost 3,000 years ago in Israel. And these two sons, the Bible says, turned aside after dishonest gain. And they took bribes and they perverted justice. Bribes. They sure pervert justice. The third one is this, corrupt witnesses. Proverbs 19:28 says this, a corrupt witness mocks at justice. I could imagine justice says justice will rule and corrupt witness mocking and laughing at justice. Really? Let's see what's really happening. Corrupt witness. You know, my sister, I spoke with her about a week ago. She is a teacher in a private institute in Korea. She was in charge of elementary schools, after school program. Anyway, she works with co-workers, and one time the co-worker came to her and said, you know, I saw one of your students and I did some counseling with her and with her mother, and they said that you hit the girl during the class. Of course, my sister would never do such a thing. And my sister was shocked to hear such an allegation, unrooted. But she's she's a wife of the pastor and she's a Christian. She says, well, you know, it never happened, and she wanted to move on. I said, no, you should correct this thing because they're going to be recorded in the, you know, whatever the records, school records. It'll go down, his story. So therefore, you should, it is your responsibility to correct this one. You see, corrupt witnesses pervert justice. Of course, the last one is the desire to please the crowd more than God. We all remember Good Friday's story, what happened. Pilate, the Roman governor. And the Roman governor investigated himself whether Jesus was guilty or not, and he found nothing wrong with Jesus, and so he wanted to release him. But guess what? The religious leaders at the time instigated the crowd, and the crowd shouted out, crucify him, crucify him. And so the Pilate, the governor, was worried and concerned about riots than justice. So we know what he did. He gave away Jesus to crucifixion. God's word clearly warns us such a practice of pleasing the crowd in the matter of justice as this. Listen, in Exodus chapter 23, God says, you shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Have you ever wondered, like I did, why many politicians are corrupt? Here's one of the reasons I believe so. They exist to please the crowd than God. They want to be liked by people rather than doing what is right in the sight of God. By the way, how do they keep their popularity? By pleasing their constituents, by siding with them, even to the point of perverting justice. Desire to please the crowd more than God surely perverts the justice. Now by now, I know you all are eager to do justice, right? You want to just treat all the people with fairness like God does. You even don't mind traveling hundreds of miles to Washington, D.C. to participate in the marches for justice and equal rights movements and so forth. All good. However, you don't actually have to go down to Washington to do justice. As a matter of fact, your daily practice of justice is far more important than all the marches in the world. Therefore, let us live out the life of justice wherever we are. There's a song, brighten the corner where you are. Do the justice in the corner where you are every single day. And that's what really counts before God, and that's what really God requires of all of us. So before you say to me, Pastor Choi, I'll do justice, let me remind you one more critical point here, the foundation of life of justice. It is God, not your willpower. In every talk of justice and before you start walking in justice, you must understand who God is And you must learn to fear him accordingly. Now here's why I say so. Did you know that the Bible says the Lord, the Jehovah God, is a God of justice? He is the author of justice. He loves justice. He practices it and he takes it very seriously. He hates anything or anybody that perverts justice. Along with righteousness, the Bible says justice is the foundation of God's throne. You and I enter into God's throne room and looking at the bottom of the throne, it says righteousness on one hand. On the other hand, it is written justice. God is exalted by his justice, and with his justice, he rules nations and judges nations, and he will bring the ultimate justice to the nations on the last day. Justice, God's word says, is God's measuring line. Oh, I love all these verses. God administers justice every morning. Morning by morning, he dispenses justice to all, and he expects and commands his children, you and me, to do like he does. Imitate him in justice. He wants us to love justice and hate evil. He commands both even the government officials and ordinary citizens like you and me to administer true justice. Did you know our leaders and government officials are called to administer justice? What is the number one job of elected officials? You may say economy, stupid economy. But let me tell you what the Bible says. Administer justice is the number one. Why? Because without justice, the nation will not be stable. Justice gives our nation stability. And that's why we need to pray for our leaders, political leaders, so that God may endow them with his justice so that they may not abuse their power. I don't have enough time to go into many other illustrations. Let me move on. God also has called us, ordinary believers like you and me, to seek justice. He expects us to care about justice for the poor and, in fact, for all, day in, day out. I'm sure some of you heard of the name Job in the Bible. He is the guy who lost all the possessions. He lost 10 children and he lost his own health. And his wife asked him to curse God and die right there, that guy. This is what Job said. Justice is my robe and turban. Justice is my robe and turban. Like Job, you and I should be fair even to those who bring a complaint against us. That's our call. The Bible says that true justice only can be administered with the fear of God. That's why we need to learn to fear the Lord. Practice your justice in reverence of God in your thoughts, words, and actions. Remember, God watches over you and will hold you accountable for your thoughts, meditations, words, and deeds. This is how I see it. The Bible says that crooks do not understand justice. I said, how true it is. The opposite of crooks is the upright person before God, right? Their lifestyle. The way I see it is this. An upright lifestyle goes before justice, and accountability goes before the upright lifestyle, and the fear of the Lord goes before the accountability. It's all, you know, string attached together. Upright style goes before justice, and accountability goes before the upright style, and the fear of the Lord goes before the accountability. You think of it. So here comes the application part. We all want to practice justice for all and with all. So let's begin with the people around us, including children. You know, I learned a lesson long time ago. You treat children with dignity and respect. Don't ever think that you are a child, you don't know anything about it. No. Try to treat them equally too. You may be surprised what impact you will have on the children. Show no partiality or favoritism among your children or friends. Don't give or take bribes. Do not regard the rich more than the poor. Do not falsely testify. Do not side with the crowd for evil or injustice. Do not write oppressive laws. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says about the lawmakers. Do not prey on the poor. Defend the powerless and the outcast of the society, including resident foreigners. By the way, if you are so keen to the justice issue, I recommend you to read Exodus chapter 23. It is known as the chapter of justice for all. As for closing, I will say this. Job once said, "Justice is my robe and my turban." In other words, he treated everyone, his servants and even his enemies, with fairness all the time. The question for us, can we say the same? That justice is indeed my jacket and my hat. May God bless all of us. Let's bow our heads and pray. It is our human nature, Lord, to look for big things, impressive things, something big I want to do. But God says, why don't you do little things from where you are, with your loved ones, with your spouse, with your children, with your relatives, and with your co-workers, and so on. So Lord, doing justice is very simple. To do what is right in your sight as we treat each and everyone with respect and fairness, as God always does. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.